Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Yeah, last week we got into the book of Daniel a little bit.
Daniel.
And we want to kind of continue again this week with that same theme. Now, we're not going to talk about the rock anymore. We've done the rock. Just to mention that where we're coming from, just as a way of review, in Daniel, there was a mountain. I'll just draw a little mountain here. There was a mountain, and there was a rock cut out of the mountain without hands. In other words, it was the power of God that cut this rock out. The rock came and it smote the image, you know, that was on that Nebuchadnezzar had seen. It smote the image down to the feet and destroyed the image completely. In other words, it destroyed it was at the 10 toes, the feet, the 10 toes. We're in the, I think it was the second chapter of Daniel, wasn't it? It smote this image completely, such that it was nothing but chaff, which the wind blew away. Now, this image, of course, represents the kingdoms of this world. Okay? So we know that the kingdoms of this world are going to be totally destroyed. There will be not one shred or remnant left of them. Amen? The wind is going to blow it away. So I'm going to remove that from here. We don't need to see those kingdoms anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And then it said that this rock became a great mountain. Became a great mountain that filled all the earth. Now, I can draw a mountain here. This rock became a mountain that filled the whole earth. I draw a mountain. I made a picture of a rock. But brethren, this is spiritual language.
Yes.
This is not a natural rock. This is not a natural mountain that we're talking about. I can leave the picture here because so many of us in our mind, when we read the Word of God, we see a picture that we're familiar with in our mind. You know, sometimes it's shocking to our old way of understanding to come to the realization that the things that we're seeing in the Word of God are spiritual things. I don't know whether it was a big shock to you the day that you discovered, or maybe you haven't discovered yet, that when you get to heaven, you're not going to walk on this material. Do you see what I'm holding? I'm holding a golden ring.
Oh.
I took it off my hand. It's made out of gold. Trust me, it is real gold. Amen? Brethren, you're not going to walk on this.
No.
You're not going to walk on this.
As
a matter of fact, I would be rather disappointed if that's all I had to walk on. Just a lot of cold, hard metal. This gold, brethren, is the nature of God. We're going to walk in His nature. We're going to walk in righteousness. We're going to walk in holiness. Everything about who He is the way we're going to walk. Amen. That's going to be heaven, brethren. And I want to talk about the mountain, and I would just want to go through the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about the mountain. Let's start in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 23. Let's start in verse 21. Set thee up waymarks. Make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. Now this is spiritual language, brethren. We're talking about a highway of the Lord. You understand, when we talk about a highway, we're not talking about getting out here on one of the interstates, getting out on one of the streets. We are talking about a way of life that is going to take us into the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of His nature. This is the way. This is the highway. And to walk in this way means to walk in righteousness. It means to walk in the way of repentance. It means to walk according to the instructions of the Word of God, the way that He has set out for us, that we not walk as after the manner of the old man anymore, in pursuing the flesh, in pursuing the pleasures of the world anymore. We are not walking on that highway anymore. We're walking on a different road. We're walking on a highway that is going to lead us into the kingdom of God in its fullness. Hallelujah. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Now, what in the world does that mean? A woman shall compass a man. Amen? Well, I'm not sure I have the full understanding. There's several possible ways. Some could say, well, it's a picture of the man-child coming forth out of the woman church. And I think that's one good way of looking at it. Another would say, well, it's a woman, of course, speaks of the church. It could say that a woman is surrounding the Lord and seeking Him with all her heart, with all that she has. She's come all the way around the Lord, and she's on every side crying out to Him. Again, you can interpret that any way you want, but the backsliding daughter is the church. And He's calling her back to Him. He wants the individual people who make up the church to cry out to Him to come back from their backsliding ways. Now, the next, we're going to get into the mountain here. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity, the Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. All right, here's the mountain. What are mountains made out of? What are natural mountains made out of? Rock, stones, dirt, what have you. Mostly rocks, though, aren't they? And hopefully, some people might think, well, if I drill into it, maybe I'll find gold, maybe I'll find oil or something. But basically, just natural materials. Now, we're talking about the mountain of the Lord, aren't we? What is the first clue here that this mountain is made out of? What was this verse? What did I just read?
Holiness.
Can I write that on here? What is the mountain made of? It's made of holiness. Can you imagine a great pile of holiness? Now, I know, holiness is a spiritual term. How can we pile up holiness? We can gather holiness in one place. Is that possible? By the way, where is God? Where is heaven? I was talking to Brother Campbell yesterday. He called me. And he was telling me that quite some time ago, the Lord asked him a question. And no, maybe it was he that asked the Lord. I guess it was he that asked the Lord. He said, Lord, where is heaven? And the Lord said, where I am. Well, where is the Lord?
Everywhere.
Well, He's everywhere. So there's a realm of heaven everywhere.
Yeah.
Is there not?
Amen.
Now you say, well, In the wickedness of this world, there's still a realm of heaven, yes. There's heaven if you want to find it. Where does the Lord dwell? Does He dwell in me? So that means there's heaven in me too, isn't there? I remember Brother Campbell said this in Germany one time, and some sisters got very upset at him. They said he was a false prophet because he said there was heaven in you. But there's also heaven. He says He has a throne. Now, He doesn't have to confine Himself to one mountain, one throne, one location. He doesn't have to confine Himself, and yet He can. He can bring himself to one place, so to speak, where that is what he will call the mountain of his holiness. Let's go on from Jeremiah. There's more. Isaiah 14. You don't mind going through some of these Old Testament books, do you? Because they had some real insight into the things of God. I guess we've got to go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Now we're talking here a little bit about Satan also, aren't we? That he wanted the mountain of God. Isaiah 14, let's start in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now you remember the proper name here is not Lucifer, but Heliel. Heliel. He was the third. There are only three archangels who have been named. There's Gabriel, there's Michael, and there's Heliel. And that L, E-L, on the end of it means of God. All right, so Heliel, before he became Satan, was the angel of heaven that called all of heaven to praise. The what is the term? The Memshach was his job. And he would begin. It talks about the tabrets that were within him, the praise that came forth within him. And all of heaven would join him in that praise until iniquity was found in him. All right, so let's go. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, O Heliel? How art thou fallen? Now, to have fallen means what? To have fallen means that you were once in a higher place and now you have taken a lower place. Now, if you have to see a picture of a mountain in order to understand that, so be it. Nevertheless, it's a spiritual place that he fell from. There are higher places in God. There are different realms of heaven in God. There are lower realms and there are higher realms. For instance, the heaven that's in me isn't quite the high realm that I would call the place of the exalted throne of God. And yet I want to have a throne, his throne exalted in me as well. And yet I realize that there is an unapproachable place in God that I cannot approach because I'm not worthy yet to come into that place. There's a place where these archangels dwell. There's a place where other angels dwell that's not quite that high. All right, we didn't come to talk about necessarily about heaven, but in order to understand the mountain, we need to understand a little something about heaven. So, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Heliel? Now, what did Jesus say to the disciples one day when they said, even the demons are subject to us?
I saw him fall.
Yes, he said, I saw him fall like a bolt of lightning.
Right.
Amen? So, in other words, Jesus was there. God does not, brethren, God is not having a big struggle with Satan. Did you know that?
And he took one third of them.
God is not having a big struggle. Sometimes we think that God is about 6 foot three, the devil is probably 6 foot one, that God is 220 pounds, the devil is 195, and it's a pretty close, no, it's not close at all. All God had to do was point his finger, and by the way, God doesn't have hands and fingers like I do. But can I use that as a figure of speech? Or shall we say, all God had to do was look at him and say, out. You're out of here. And he fell like a bolt of lightning. He was out of heaven. But remember now, he is still in a realm of heaven. Because if you go to Revelation chapter 12, there was a picture of the woman who was going to bring forth the man child. And it was a picture, it says it was in heaven. And the great red dragon was waiting to devour the man-child as soon as he was born. So he fell from one of the highest realms, not the highest, but shall we say maybe the second highest place in heaven that he could have been, into one of the lowest places of heaven. Maybe not quite the lowest, because it says that Michael's going to cast him down even further. Heaven is a spiritual place, brethren. It's a spiritual word. Don't try to put natural things on it when we talk about heaven. It's a place of the Spirit. You know, people in Jesus' time had a hard time understanding this. Well, this guy had this wife and this wife and this wife and this wife, and you know, he goes on about seven of them. Well, when they get to heaven, which one of the wives is going to be his wife? Jesus said, come on, you people don't understand. You don't understand spiritual things. You're not going to be male and female when you get there. There will be no wife and husband. No male and female. Amen? No Jew and Greek.
Amen.
You know, brethren, I think if we haven't done so already, we better be laying aside our identities insofar as Jew and Greek are concerned, insofar as American, Filipino, African, and all that are concerned. There will be none of that.
Amen.
There should be none of that now in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We shouldn't be thinking in those terms.
Amen.
Amen? Talk about the benefits of being colorblind and all that. I'm colorblind in the natural, by the way. I wish I were totally blind in some of these things in the spiritual realm. To not be aware of male and female. In Christ!
Yeah.
There is none of this.
Yeah.
Now, in the flesh, there is. Don't get me wrong. We still have husband and wife. Amen. Daughter and son. We still have this because we're here. We live down here. But Jesus was saying to them, when you get into the spiritual realm, you won't have any of that. Amen. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I haven't ruined everybody's heaven now, have I? Sister walked up to me one time, came right up to this thing years ago, put her hand on this thing after the message and said, you have destroyed my heaven and my hope. I said, sister, why? She says, because you said heaven isn't real. I said, no, I didn't. I said, it is not natural. It is not a natural place.
Right.
She wanted her heaven made out of this gold.
Uh-huh.
That's what she wanted. Well, if you want that, you can have that. But I tell you, when you get there, you're going to have a surprise because it's not going to be made out of natural material like you think. Amen? So, we're here. Let me get through this Lucifer thing. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Heliel, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now, this cut down to the ground, again, speaks of the carnal level. He went from a spiritual level down to just about as carnal as a spirit being can come. And there's even a lower one waiting for him, called the pit. Amen.
Amen.
The abyss is waiting for him.
Yeah.
Amen. Which didst weaken the nations. Amen. For thou hast said in thine heart. What kind of heart are we talking about? Devil doesn't have a thing that pumps blood, boom, 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 click, 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 whatever, kaboom. No, he doesn't have a heart like that. But he has within his being something that he can exercise a will. He can have a desire. Something in his inward being that says, I want this, I want that. And what happened to him is he said in his heart, I will ascend. Now he was almost as high as a being could be. The only thing higher than him was the unapproachable light of which God is spoken of, the very highest of the throne of God. That was the only thing that was higher. And he said in his heart, I want to go higher than I am. I will ascend into heaven. Well, he already was in heaven. But he wanted to go into a higher heaven. Do you understand? I will exalt my throne. The point is, he didn't have a throne. But he intended to have one. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars of God? The sons of God. He wanted to be in charge of the sons of God. He wanted to be the ruler, amen, shall we say, of the called out of the called out.
Amen.
God's people, He wanted to be in charge of it. You know what the sad thing is? He is, for the most part.
He's there.
In the city of religion, He's still ruling.
Yeah.
I will sit also upon, now listen to this, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That talks about a mount. The mount of the congregation. Shall I write the word congregation on here? A congregation of holiness. This is the mountain that He wanted to sit on. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 28. We're still looking at this mountain. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to go to verse 14, I believe. Thou art the anointed cherub. We're still talking about Heliel now. Well, let's go back to verse 13, because there's some things here that I talked about earlier that I need to back up with the word. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Now these are nine stones, are they not?
Right.
When you get over into Revelation, you find three more, don't you?
Yeah.
So in other words, He was as complete could be, until Christ. One of those stones is the chrysoprase, which we'll call the Christ stone. Another was the blood stone. And what was the third one? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
Anyway, the fullness of Christ was not yet made available. But He had all that was available. It said He had every precious stone. Amen? And gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's talking about the praise instruments that came forth from Him. Now, brethren, again, we're talking about tabrets and pipes and harps and this type of thing. We are not talking about natural instruments, stringed instruments, woodwinds, brass. We're not talking about that kind of thing. We are talking about different realms of praise, different expressions of praise, if you please. You are not going to sit on a cloud and strum on a great big old 300-pound harp. You know, you've heard people play those things. No, that's not going to be up there on a cloud waiting for you. There is within you. There is within you the instrument of praise that is going to come forth when it's called for. Amen? You might be a harp. You might be a pipe. I don't know what you're going to be. You're going to be what God has gifted you for, to bring forth a peculiar and unique praise that is designed specifically and gifted for you. It'll probably be different, a little bit different, and yet it'll blend perfectly into everybody else, and it's going to make up a whole that of perfection of praise. Amen? He said, thou wast perfect. Oh, wait a minute. Thou wast the anointed cherub that covereth. See, he had an overshadowing place in heaven. The overshadowing of His praise. He was given that privilege of doing that above all the other angels, above the sons of God, whoever that covereth. And I have set thee so. It was an appointment of God. Amen. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Should we write the word? It says holiness, but I'll write the word holy here anyway. Thou wast upon that holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise. What is merchandise? What do merchants do? Buy and sell. Merchants are traders. They're deal makers. By the multitude of thy wheeling and dealing, amen, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Do you want to know what's gone wrong in the world today? You want to know why things aren't working? You want to know why oil wells don't work the way they're supposed to work? Why cars don't work the way they're supposed to work? Something went wrong in the wheeling and dealing. Somebody wanted to make more money. Somebody wanted to cut corners. I don't know what they did, but if they were following the pattern of Satan, which most of them are, is violence, corruption was found in them. And whatever they thought they could get away with, they're going to try to get away with it. Bankers included. Amen. Filled the midst of thee with violence. You see what went into his heart? And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. What does profane mean? Profane does not mean cursing and swearing and that type of thing. It means common, ordinary dirt.
Right.
As common as dirt is common. Dirt, I don't mean because dirt is dirty. I mean just because dirt is common. It's everywhere. It's out there. Just like dirt, I'll throw you out. You don't belong here in the holy mountain anymore. Profane things do not belong in the holy mountain of God.
Yeah.
Amen? And I will destroy thee. Not only is he putting him out, but he's going to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? O covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Well, the rest is interesting. But I'm not going to go on. I've gone through these before. You've heard me talk about it before. Let me go over to the book of Daniel, and we're not going to take the same chapter, but we're going to take the, a verse from chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Let's look at verse 16. Now, the context here is that Daniel was repenting before the Lord. Daniel had read the book of Jeremiah, and he understood from the book of Jeremiah that 70 years of captivity were ordained for God's people. He understood that. Now, the thing that's interesting is that Daniel didn't just sit back and say, oh well, here we are on the calendar, we've only got another 3 years to go, or whatever he had to go, I don't know how many years he had to go, I'll just sit back and let it happen. It's going to happen. God said it was going to happen in 70 years, so it's going to happen. But you see, Daniel didn't take prophecy in that manner, did he? Daniel understood that when a prophetic word was given, that we have to walk in agreement with that word if we're going to see that word come to pass. How many of you know that if the prophet comes and lays hands on you and says, yea, thus saith the Lord, here's what I have for you, here's the plan I have for you, that if you don't begin to walk in that way and walk in that plan, that prophetic word may not come to pass for you. You're going to have to go in agreement with that. And you're going to have to begin to walk in the way that God suggested that you walk if you want to see that come to pass in your life. And Daniel apparently understood that because he began to repent in behalf of all his people. He began to say to the Lord, God, we got into all this trouble because of our iniquity. We disobeyed you. You told us to do thus and thus. We didn't do it. And now You told us what would happen if we didn't, and sure enough, it happened. And now we have to walk in the place that you told us it would happen. You told us we'd go into captivity. We're in captivity. And he began to pray, and he began to repent. Now, in the 16th verse of Daniel chapter 9, O Lord, this is part of Daniel's prayer now. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Now, he's calling a city Jerusalem his holy mountain. I'm going to write the word Jerusalem here. If you will understand that when I write Jerusalem there, I am not talking about a city in the Mideast on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. Because Jerusalem has a spiritual understanding. And this is what Daniel was talking about when he called Jerusalem a holy mountain. Jerusalem's on a hill. Natural Jerusalem. I don't call that a mountain. And yet, it is referred to spiritually as Mount Zion. So let me read on here. He said, turn away thine anger and thy fury to be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. When we go over down now to verse 20, he's continuing with his prayer. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, you know, it appears that we can begin helping repentance of other people, doesn't it? It appears that we can begin to pray for our brethren and begin to ask God to be merciful because of their iniquities. Amen. The sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain and my God. And I'll just read the next verse. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So he had a visitation from Gabriel as he was praying, fasting and praying and repenting in behalf of his people. Amen. Well, that's what I wanted to point out. Go over to Joel. Joel. J-O-E-L. Joel, and we're going to go to chapter 2 and chapter 3. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Again, we're talking about blow the trumpet where? In my what? In my holy mountain. Yeah, we can write Zion on here too, can't we? Zion, and we're talking about his holy mountain. Now, brethren, can we not say that Joel chapter 2 is talking about our day, our generation? This is not just talking about something 3,000 years ago. This is a word for today. Every true prophet that I know speaks of this passage as something that is for today. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Oh, brethren, the song we say, don't you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to every man that is bound. What trumpet are you hearing? What is this trumpet? Do you think that Gabriel is going to come with some natural big old brass thing and going to stand on some mountain and look. No, it's not going to be a natural thing, brethren.
Amen.
Do you know what a trumpet is in the book of Revelation? You know what a trumpet means? A trumpet is an announcement.
Right, amen.
If you can accept that, you are hearing a trumpet sound today.
Yes, amen.
You are hearing the trumpet.
Yes, hallelujah.
When you hear the prophetic word, you're hearing a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So the trumpet is sounding today. Hallelujah. Go over to the third chapter of Joel, down to the 16th verse. Multitudes. Let's start with 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Brethren, there are today multitudes of people in the valley of decision. The valley of decision means you're in a place where you're going to have to decide. It is up to you. The salvation of God is available for you. It is up to you whether you are going to reach out and take it or are you not. Do you want the kingdom of God?
Amen.
How much do you want it? Have you seen a pearl of great price that you would like to have? Do you know how you can get it? You're going to have to buy the field.
Right.
The whole field to get the one pearl. Come on, the parables are all full of the kingdom of God. You're not buying natural pearls.
Right.
I mean, you go through these magazines and you find these big strings of pearls. Oh, these are the best thing that ever came along. We're not selling them for $1,000. You can get it for only $300. Wow. I mean, natural pearls, that's not what we're after.
Amen.
We're after the pearl of great price. We're after Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And you're in the valley of decision. You're going to have to decide, are you going to go for it or are you going to go back down into the old carnal ways again and again? He will give you the help if you want it.
Amen.
Cry out to Him.
Yeah.
He will deliver you. He will save you to the utmost.
Amen.
Multitudes, multitudes, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withhold their shining. That's spiritual terms again. You know, you might actually go out and see things happen in the stars and the sun and the moon, the natural stars and moon. But the stars are the sons of God. The moon is the church. The sun is God Himself. Yes, the light of God is being darkened in our day. The business that the moon is supposed to be doing is also being darkened. The church is not doing what she's supposed to do. This is a picture of our generation, brethren. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. What kind of a roar do you think you're going to hear from the Lord out of Zion? I believe if you want to listen, you're going to hear the prophetic word. The day of the Lord is at hand. I mean, John the Baptist, he was the voice of the Lord roaring out of Zion.
Yes.
And it has been going on ever since then. Since the days of John the Baptist until now. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by what?
Force.
So there is a roar of a lion in Zion. Amen. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. What does that mean? Heavens and earth shall shake. The spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm of heaven in you. It's going to be shaken. There's an earth realm in me. My natural carnal earth, that is being shaken as well. Some of the things that we're suffering in our flesh, our earth is shaking. But the Lord. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Come on, the hope is here.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, shaking. The shaking of the earth, the shaking of the sea, the air, it's all going on in the natural. My goodness, talk to the people down there in the Gulf If you wonder whether the sea is shaking and the natural things of their life is shaking, their livelihood is being shaken.
Oh, yeah.
People that fish, people that depend on that, their life is being shaken.
Yep. Amen.
And up here where we live, we're not going to be left out.
Nope.
We're going to be shaken as much as anyone else.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how. Don't ask me how. So shall ye know, amen, that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. Amen. Other mountains. Amen. And the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Spiritual language, brethren. A fountain opened up is Christ Jesus, isn't it?
Yes.
Living water.
Amen.
The last day of the feast, he got up. Oh, who is thirsty? Come, let him buy without cost.
Amen.
Over to Micah. Micah is right after Amos, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 4, the first two verses. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established, where? In the top of the mountains. Now isn't this interesting? The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. A mountain established on the top of a mountain. Do you see, this is not a natural thing. You can't build a mountain on top of a mountain.
Is that Micah 4:1. Okay.
So we're talking about a place in God that is going to be built in the high place of God. Higher. Amen. Shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it.
Yeah.
Holiness. Why don't I write righteousness on here too?
Yeah.
A mountain made out of righteousness. How would you like to live in a world like that? How would you like to live in a world that everybody that you deal with is going to be righteous? Nobody's going to cheat you. People are going to warn you if they think something might be going wrong. I mean, they're going to love you. People are just going to love one another.
Amen.
People are not out to hurt one another.
Right.
Oh my, I could go on and on. Wouldn't you like to? Don't you want to be in the kingdom?
Yes, amen.
Amen. I forgot where I was here. Okay. People will flow into it. You know, when righteousness and holiness becomes available in the earth and there's no more Satan to hold it back, people are going to want it.
Yeah.
People are going to desire it. People are going to long for it.
Yeah.
Amen. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go where? Up to the mountain of the Lord. Come, let us get up higher than we've been. Let us rise up higher. Let us stop walking in this low carnal realm of understanding that we've been walking in. Let our eyes be lifted up. Amen. Let our understanding be lifted up. Let my heart be lifted up higher. Take away the veil that is on my eyes, O Lord. Let me understand the kingdom things. Hallelujah. You know, that's what we went to the Philippines for, was to preach the kingdom of God. Religion has already been there. They don't need any more of that. But they rejoiced to hear the word of the kingdom because the kingdom hadn't been preached to them. Amen. Come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. There's not going to be a natural house up there. What is a house? It's a place where He dwells.
Yeah.
Amen. He didn't say Jacob was going to dwell there. He said the God of Jacob.
Right.
Amen? And he will teach us of his ways. See, this is what's going to happen in this Mount Zion. We are going to learn his ways. We have learned too much the ways of Adam. We have learned the ways of Satan. We have been inundated with it too long. And it's time to learn the ways of the Lord. Time to teach our children the ways of the Lord. Our grandchildren have not been taught the ways of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we will walk in his paths. See, this is not a natural highway. You're not going to go out and find a little sign by one of the roads that says, "This is the highway of the Lord." No, it'll be the way you walk. It's going to be the path of the Lord. Amen? The signposts are right here in the Bible. That's the way to walk. Amen? "For the law shall go forth out of Zion." What law? "Thou shalt not..." No, that's not what we're talking about. The law of righteousness. You won't have to be told what thou shalt not. You will know. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. "And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We've only got about one or two more here. Hebrews chapter 12. You're so familiar with Hebrews chapter 12, aren't you? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Now we're comparing the old mountain with the new mountain. Okay? Verse 18. "For ye are not come unto the..." I'll add the word old in here. "Unto the old mount..." That was the one that Moses went up. By the way, did you notice that God still made him go up when he gave him the word, when he gave him the Ten Commandments? He didn't have Moses go down into a pit or down into a valley to get it. He had him go up because the thing that God was doing was an up thing. It was a higher thing than he had had before. The children of Israel were being brought into a higher realm, and yet it was an old thing by the time Hebrews was written. "For you're not come unto the old mount that might be touched." See, natural things. You're not come to these natural things anymore. "And that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest," the things that were so terrifying about it, "and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words." They heard something with their natural ears, see? "Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." We don't want to hear this, God. Moses, you can be a priest. Tell us what he said. We don't want to hear it. It's too frightening. It's too terrible. "For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Yeah. Even Moses was shaking.
Yep.
But it's an old mountain. Amen. But here's the new mountain. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion." I'll call it the new mountain. Amen.
Yeah.
"Unto the city of the living God." Now, I don't have room to write all these things in here. But in your mind, if you need a picture, write "city of the living God."
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Jerusalem. See, where I wrote Jerusalem, you're going to have to add the word heavenly. Heavenly means spiritual. It's a spirit place. "And to an innumerable company of angels." We're talking about heaven now, aren't we? Amen. This is the mount. "And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn." Well, that's our church, of course, isn't it? We got to change our name. Got to put a new name over the door. General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. I'm amused at people that have these long names for their churches. get down in the city somewhere and you see these big long names, they go down, then they have to have another line. I guess they want to put their whole doctrine on the side of the bus. Brethren, it doesn't matter how many names you put over your door or how many words you put on your bus.
Right.
Just say the mountain of the Lord or whatever you want to call it. God knows what it is. Amen. And to the General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, that means they're in the book.
Yep.
Amen. And to God, the judge of all. Oh, I'm going to have to put his name up here. God, the judge. He belongs on the highest point, doesn't he? Amen. God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Do you see, if you're just, I can put the word just here, can't I? Holy and just. God is holy and just. And if we're going to be there, we're going to be holy and we're going to be just. And just men are going to be made perfect. You believe in perfection? Yes, you better believe in it. Because it's here. And to Jesus, the mediator. Well, I put God. That includes Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The mediator of the new covenant and to the blood. Oh, you know the blood belongs here too?
Amen.
The blood is part of that. The blood of Jesus. It's as if it's a separate entity. It has its own life. It is life-giving. Brethren, if you want life, call upon the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What does the blood do for you? First of all, it eliminates your sin. It wipes out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us.
Yes.
Nails it to the cross.
Yes.
We have all that we need through the blood. We have healing. We have deliverance. My goodness, deliverance from the power of Satan through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
There it is. That's the whole message of salvation. You don't need to hear anymore. You've heard it. Thanks for the blood. Amen. And the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Well, amen. I'm sure I've read far more than I intended to here. Let me go now to Isaiah, and that will be the last passage that we're going to read, back to Isaiah chapter 25, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it makes it a little bit clearer. Isaiah 25, just a couple verses here. Start in verse 6. And on this mount, Zion, shall the Lord of hosts make for all peoples a feast of rich things.
Amen.
Symbolical of his coronation festival inaugurating the reign of the Lord on the earth. This is the prophetic now. After the background of gloom, judgment, and terror, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. He's talking about a celebration, isn't he?
Yep.
He's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus being crowned king. And he's talking about on Mount Zion.
Yes.
It's a spiritual place, not a natural place. Don't limit that to some little 3 acres or something over in the Mideast. It's a place in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. What verse did I read? Okay. He will destroy on this mountain the covering of the face that is cast over the head of all people in mourning. You see, we're going to go through some terrible things, brethren.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of mourning in the earth before this breaking forth of the fullness of the Lord. People are going to be very sorrowful and mourning. But he said he's going to remove that covering, that veil over us. Amen? And the veil of profound wretchedness that is woven and spread over all nations. Oh, hallelujah!
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
It's woven into the thought processes, the mindset of people of all the nations. It's going to be removed. Zip!
Amen.
Gone, just like that. Hallelujah. He will swallow up death in victory. He will abolish death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the reproach of His people He will take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It shall be said in that day, Behold our God, upon whom we have waited and hoped that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. For the hand of the Lord shall rest upon this mount. And Moab, another place, not the thing of God, will be thrashed, trodden down in his place as straw is trodden down in the filthy water of a primitive cesspit. Final verse, chapter 11, verse 9 of Isaiah. And by the way, chapter 26. Oh, don't miss chapter 26 of Isaiah. Don't miss that. Come, my people, verse 20. Enter into your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's wrath is past. For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place, out of his heavenly place, spiritual place, to punish the inhabitants of the earth, the carnal realm here, for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose the blood shed upon her, and will no longer cover her slain and conceal her guilt. Final here, chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth, the down here where we live, earth shall be what? Full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water cover the sea. How thoroughly does water cover the sea? Is there any part of the sea that the water doesn't cover? Is there anything left exempt? No, water covers everything.
Amen.
And that is how thoroughly and completely the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or hallelujah? Or something similar? Now, I saved this song that we sang just to remind you that we sang this song. Do we have a little better understanding now? And maybe we could close in singing this song.
Amen.
Amen. Great is the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's going to be the starter of singing?
Great is the Lord.